rock music spilling out of the bars. Billy suddenly began to feel decidedly unreal, outside of himself, as if he were having one of those Fate magazine instances of astral projection. Names, Heidi, Penchley, Linda, Houston, seemed suddenly to ring false and tinny, like names made up on the spur of the moment for a bad story. He had a feeling that he could look behind things and see the lights, the cameras, the key grips, and some unimaginable real world. The smell of the sea seemed overwhelmed by a smell of rotten food and salt. Sounds became distant, as if floating down a very long hallway. "Astral projection, my ass," a dim voice pronounced. "You're getting ready to have sunstroke, my friend." "That's ridiculous. I never had a sunstroke in my life." "Well, I guess when you lose 120 pounds, it really fucks up your thermostat. Now, are you going to get out of the sun, or are you going to wind up in an emergency room somewhere giving your Blue Cross and Blue Shield number?" "Okay, you talked me into it," Billy mumbled. And the kid who was passing by and dumping a box of Reese's Pieces into his mouth turned and gave him a sharp look. There was a bar up ahead called the Seven Seas. There were two signs taped to the door. "Icy Cool" read one. "Terminal Happy Hour" read the other. Billy went in. The Seven Seas was not only icy cool, it was blessedly quiet. A sign on the juke read, "Some asshole kicked me last night, and now I am out of order." Below this was a French translation of the same sentiment. But Billy thought from the aged look of the sign and the dust on the juke that the last night in question might have been a good many years ago. There were a few patrons in the bar, mostly older men who were dressed much as Billy himself was dressed, as if for the street rather than the beach. Some were playing checkers and backgammon. Almost all were wearing hats. "Help you?" the bartender asked, coming over.
"I'd like a schooner, please."
"Okay."
The beer came. Billy drank it slowly, watching the boardwalk ebb and flow outside the windows of the bar, listening to the murmur of the old men. He felt some of his strength, some of his sense of reality, begin to come back. The bartender returned.
"Hit you again?"
"Please, and I'd like a word with you if you have time."
"About what?"
"Some people who might have been through here."
"Where's here, the seas?"
"Old Orchard." The bartender laughed.
"So far as I can see, everyone in Maine and half of Canada comes through here in the summer, old son."
"These were gypsies." The bartender grunted and brought Billy a fresh bottle of schooner.
"You mean they were drift trade? Everyone who comes to Old Orchard in the summer is. The place here is a little different. Most of the guys who come in here live here year-round. The people out there..." He waved at the window, dismissing them with a flick of the wrist. "Drift trade. Like you, mister."
Billy poured the schooner carefully down the side of his glass and then laid a $10 bill on the bar. "I'm not sure we understand each other. I'm talking about real, actual gypsies, not tourists or summer people."
"Real? Oh, you must mean those guys who are camped out by the salt shack."
Billy's heart speeded in his chest. "Can I show you some pictures?"
"Wouldn't do you any good. I didn't see them."
He looked at the ten for a moment and then called.
"Lon, Lonnie, come over here a minute."
One of the old men who had been sitting by the window got up and shuffled over to the bar. He was wearing gray cotton pants, a white shirt that was too big for him, and a snap-brimmed straw hat. His face was weary. Only his eyes were alive. He reminded Billy of someone, and after a few moments it came to him. The old man looked like Lee Strasberg, the teacher and actor.
"This is Lon Enders," the bartender said. "He's got a little place just on the west of town. Same side the salt shack's on. Lon sees everything that goes on in Old Orchard."
"I'm Bill Halleck."
"Meet you,"
Lon Enders said in a papery voice and took the stool next to Billy's. He did not really seem to sit. Rather, his knees appeared to buckle the moment his buttocks were poised over the cushion.
"Would you like a beer?" Billy asked.
"Can't,"
the papery voice rustled, and Billy moved his head slightly to avoid the oversweet smell of Enders' breath.
"Already had my one for the day. Doctor says no more than that. Guts are screwed up.
If I was a car, I'd be ready for the scrap heap.
Oh, Billy said lamely. The bartender turned away from them and began loading beer glasses into a dishwasher. Enders looked at the $10 bill. Then he looked at Billy. Halleck explained again while Enders' tired, too shiny face looked dreamily off into the shadows of the seven seas and the arcade bells bonged faintly like sounds overheard in a dream next door.
They was here,
he said when Billy had finished.
They was here, all right. I hadn't seen any gypsies in 7 years or more. Hadn't seen this bunch in maybe 20 years.
Billy's right hand squeezed the beer glass he was holding, and he had to consciously make himself relax his grip before he broke it. He set the glass down carefully on the bar. When? Are you sure? Do you have any idea where they might have been going? Can you? Enders held up one hand. It was as white as the hand of a drowned man pulled from a well, and to Billy it seemed dimly transparent.
Easy, my friend,
he said in his whispering voice.
I'll tell you what I know.
With the same conscious effort, Billy forced himself to say nothing, to just wait.
I'll take the 10 spot because you look like you can afford it, my friend,
Enders whispered. He tucked it into his shirt pocket and then pushed the thumb and forefinger of his left hand into his mouth, adjusting his upper plate.
But I'd talk for free. Hell, when you get old, you find out you'd pay someone to listen. Ask Timmy there if I can have a glass of cold water, would you? Even the one beer's too much, I reckon. It's burning what's left of my stomach something fierce. But it's hard for a man to give up all his pleasures, even when they don't pleasure him no more.
Billy called the bartender over, and he brought Enders his ice water. You okay, Lon? He asked as he put it down.
I've been better and I've been worse,
Lon whispered, and picked up the glass. For a moment, Billy thought it was going to prove too heavy. But the old man got it to his mouth, although some spilled on the way there.
You want to talk to this guy?
Timmy asked. The cold water seemed to revive Enders. He put the glass down, looked at Billy, looked back at the bartender.
I think somebody ought to, he said. He don't look as bad as me yet, but he's getting there.
Enders lived in a small retirees colony on Cove Road. He said Cove Road was part of the real old orchard, the one the tips don't care about. Tips? Billy asked.
The crowds, my friend, the crowds. Me and the wife came to this town in 1946, just after the war. Been here ever since. I learned how to turn a tip from a master, Lonesome Tommy McGee, dead these many years now. Yelled my guts out, I did, and what you hear now is all that's left.